We got game three between the Stars and the Lightning. Someone is going to be taking a 2-1 series lead. And our next guest, that's right, our next guest, he may not even know it, but he was part of only one of seven teams that have ever lost a game three when it was tied at one to come back and win a Stanley Cup. Christopher Stieg, are you aware of that?
Did you know the reason is because I didn't play game three and then I won game four?
No.
So I was in for game one. We lost game two. I went out for game three. They brought me back for game four. So I basically saved the Stanley Cup for Chicago. Not a big deal.
Now, did
Golden
you,
the trophy. Let's
did,
go.
I was going to say, did you get any Conn Smythe love for that?
No, I don't think I've ever had a vote, but I gave myself one that year.
We're talking about the 2015 year. Against Tampa Bay, you guys, now I was looking here, I want to get it right. Tampa Bay wins game three, 36 save performance by Ben Bishop, but then they didn't win again. You guys rallied to win it in six.
Yep, yeah, that was a big win. That game, what is that, game four you're talking about? Yeah, and then game five, I had the second best game of my life in and set up the game winner in the third period, and we won game six at home 2-0, so... Yeah, that was it. Again, no Conn Smythe votes, but I gave myself one.
Yeah. I'll come back to
you
it.
You gave yourself one. I'm giving you one, too. Yeah. You got two now.
Oh, thank you. My mom gave me one, so I got three.
So like, walk us through that, like you say, the biggest, the assist. What do you remember about that scenario and that setup going back?
Well, we were in the corner. It was like a corner battle, and Antoine Vermette brought it up the wall, and he kind of poked it, and then I poked it past Jason Garrison, and I actually had like a half breakaway, and I went to shoot it, and he stripped me from behind, and I just made a flailing play to throw it on net and went off Ben Bishop's pad, actually back to Antoine Vermette, and he scored. So I thought I was going to be the hero scoring, but I just made a fluke play at the net, and it wound back up on Antoine's stick, but I guess I'm coming out and saying it was a fluke, but if you get a few drinks in me, I'll tell you I made an incredible pass.
Oh, it was a great play. Yeah, it was a great play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus one a night, one assist, 12 minutes, 38 seconds, four shots on net. How are they keeping you out of the lineup with numbers like this?
Well, I was not playing very good. So I played the whole Nashville series, and I didn't play very well. And I also had osteous pubis, if you ever heard of that. It's where your pubic bones basically inflamed because your groins are pulling so hard on it. Yeah. So you probably know about that, Warren, do you?
I've had that. That's fun.
Yeah, and so I guess I had some injections to help that, and when I came, I wasn't playing very good, and we were winning, so they kept me out of the lineup, and then I played one game against Anaheim, and we lost, and when I was out of the lineup, we kept winning, so obviously you don't go back in, and then the cup final started, and they put me back in because they thought they needed to switch out me and Bickle for two different types of players. And that's kind of how it went. But I also wasn't playing very well.
Who went in? Playoffs. Who were the poor choices that they went with?
Bickle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Come on. Be better. Mm-hmm. Looking at that series, again, going back to 2015, we talk about things being tight. Game 1, 2-1 Hawks. Game 2, 4-3 Lightning. Game 3, 3-2 Lightning. Game 4, 2-1 Hawks. Game 5, 2-1 Hawks. Game 6, 2-0 Chicago. So what?
Yeah,
talk about the breathing room that you had in that final game. Kane scored with about 5 minutes left in the third period to give you a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, it was 1-0 all night, and actually they were kind of taking it to us too. I remember Stamkos missed two or three breakaways, literally breakaways. Tyler Johnson missed one back door, so... Crawford also made some incredible saves as well, but they missed a lot of opportunities they had. And I also think Stamkos, I don't know him well, but I know in the first game of that series, we were up 2-1 and they sent six guys on the ice and Stamkos wasn't one of them. So they didn't put their horse on the ice in the biggest game, in the biggest moment. Jeez. So I feel like I look back on that and I think that was a big psyche moment for Steven going forward in that series, because then he didn't produce the way he probably normally should have. Because when you're a star player, I'm sure when the big moments come, you expect to come over the ice, and he's not coming on the ice. So I'm sure that played into it and why maybe he wasn't confident in on those breakaways maybe in game six. I know it's a big stretch to think about, but I think that kind of plays in the guy's mind.
Well, we were kind of kicking it around earlier. My point was for Tyler Seguin, he's got two goals this postseason. Two goals and 8 points in 22 games, one helper in his last 12. How it must be killing him inside. I'm sure he's putting up a brave front, trying not to be a mope in front of his teammates and all of that, but he must feel like, if the hockey gods could give me a bit of a break, he's still playing over 17 minutes a night. He's second on the team in shots on net, but he can't find a way. And the other guys were saying, well, how do you feel if you're Steven Stamkos? You can't even be on the ice. You're not helping the team because you can't get in. Can you speak from both spots? Because as you mentioned, it's tough not playing, and it's tough playing when you can't play well.
Yeah, it's so for Seguin, I don't feel bad because he's not engaged, okay? So there's the thing. He skates fast and he skates hard, but just because you skate fast doesn't mean you're engaged in the game, doesn't mean you're in the battles, doesn't mean you're hitting or finishing checks or doing the things that'll get you into the game to give you opportunities to score goals. So I don't feel like he's in those moments of the game. And his line mates are trying to do it with Radulov and Ben, but when I look at him, he's just not in it. And it's frustrating to watch because of the amount of talent and amount of ability he has. Now for Stamkos, it's got to be killing him. He is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and everything he's done for this organization and for the game of hockey has been huge, and he is such a face of the league. So I can't imagine the pressure and the stress that he's feeling and he's going through at the moment, wanting to get in and wanting to get his opportunity with Tampa. Especially, I mean, they scored two power play goals yesterday finally, but before that they were garbage. Like, their power play was so bad, and that would have been a good position for him to go in, play maybe 5 minutes, 5-on-5, but really stick to that one timer on the power play.
Well, and Rhett, you've kind of been saying they've been spinning 7D. It'd be easy enough to say, I don't know if it's Luke Shen, I don't know who comes out, to put him in and just use him in spot duty for the power play. But he's not even taking the game day skates. How much of that is just kind of navigating the media, and it's the secrecy that surrounds a Stanley Cup final, and or truly, can this guy even go? Is he really and legitimately an option?
Well, I believe he was skating at the morning skate, getting bag skated after last practice. From what I've heard, I don't know. I'm not an insider, guys. I'm an adult.
Oh, yeah, okay? No, you're good.
I'm not texting the guys for inside scoops. Anyways, but I heard he was skating, so that's got to be a good sign that he's good enough to get in. It might be just a conditioning thing now. Obviously, he might have to play through something a little bit, but I'm sure he's trying to get in. So, I would be really struggling mentally if I were him at the moment.
And you're the captain, right? There's just so much of it that would be killing you. I want just to go back and just live it. You talked about the first cup Chicago wins. People will remember it's in Philadelphia. Is it a goal? Isn't it a goal? It's kind of a delayed, wonky celebration and a reaction. Then you win the second one, but it's in Chicago, and it's a no-doubter. You win 2-0. What's that? How do you compare the two?
Well, the first one was different in the sense that, like, I didn't know the puck was in the net. Only time I knew the puck was in the net is when I saw the ref reach in the net and grab it out. And everyone says they can't find that puck till today. And I know there was three of us who saw him grab the puck out, show it. And that's when we knew it was in the net, prior to the goal, to our coach who's in the room telling the coaches that it was in. So that was like three celebrations, I guess. You had the one where, Kaner skating by, throwing his stuff off. If I throw my stuff off and it's not a goal, but this is going to be a really bad celebration. And then we had the celebration where we saw the puck, and then obviously when everyone else came on the ice. So for me, all in all, I had a bigger part in that Stanley Cup, so I felt more a part of it. And the 2015 one, again, was really nice, though, coming down the stretch the last couple of minutes, knowing that you're probably going to win it, so you could kind of take it in a little bit more. But all in all, that 2010 one, when you're just with your teammates and some family members and you're on the road and just having drinks, that was the best moment of my hockey career.
Chatting with Christopher Stieg here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're looking at this Flames roster, trying to dig into what possibly Treliving could be doing, and trying to figure out about goaltenders. What can you tell us? What can you tell us about Robin Lehner, if anything at all? And you may not, but about Robin Lehner, about Jacob Markstrom or about any of these potential UFA goalies that could be on the move here soon?
Yeah, I know there's a long list, and you hear Lundqvist might be gone, and you don't know if he'll only be in New York or Sweden, so there's another guy you can put in. Fleury, if he's going to be available for trade, and he's got to okay it in the first place. So it's going to be interesting to see where guys go. I mean, Talbot played great for you guys, right? And he really was good in the playoffs. Rittich still hasn't got that power or that playoff-performing backbone to him yet, so it might be a little hesitant to give him, you know, starter money, and he seems to struggle in the second part of that season. So I actually don't mind your tandem, because Rittich really, you know, he's a confident guy. Like, when he's confident and he's walking around the room and he's feeling good, you know he's playing good goal. It's those down moments where you're going to need a veteran guy to come in and fend the tide off for when he's not feeling good and confident. So I thought Talbot did a great job, and I actually liked your tending duo. As for you guys playing, you would like to see a scoring winger or a guy that could, you know, shore up your top six a little bit more. I would like, if you could get Milan to keep playing like he did in the playoffs, which you can't expect him to play like that all season long. His body wouldn't last, but you get him to another playoff run and you get these guys there, I still like a chance of you guys going on a run. You do have a good roster.
Good work, Dean. Done some good work on that.
Yeah, team. You're welcome. I put it together. I was trying my best. Yeah.
What kind of coach does this group need, and how do you feel about Jeff Ward coming back? Because he certainly knows the group, and I think there's something to be said for continuity. You look at the teams that have been rotating through coaches like crazy, they're usually not good. But the flip side of the coin is you certainly could say, well, they definitely didn't go out and bring in a future Hall of Fame coach at this point of his career when there were some out there. How did you feel about Jeff Ward's interim tag being removed?
Yeah, but has Calgary ever done that? Like, have they ever gone out and paid big, big money to a coach? I don't know.
Peters and Sutter would have been the closest, the third Sutter.
Okay.
But no, yeah, they've never really gone out and spent top dollar. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make was, are you okay with bringing in a guy like Ward, or would you have wanted them to go out and chat with Peter Laviolette and Gerard Gallant and Bruce Boudreau or even Mike Babcock if you're saying, we'll win at all costs?
I wouldn't like Mike Babcock for the team you got, but I would like a Peter Laviolette or a Gallant, someone, you know, who's coached for a while. They're demanding, and they're always good in the first or second year of their coaching stints. Gallant especially, and Peter Laviolette. They have these, I don't want to say they're shelf lives, because they're definitely very personable people, and they're good coaches and good people. So, but every time they go somewhere, they either go to the Cup Finals in their first or second year, or they bring a team that wasn't doing well, like Florida and Gallant, to go into the playoffs. So these are two coaches that I would have loved Calgary to look at. But also Jeff Ward came in at a hard time and a trying time, and he got this team going. He seems to be a real personable guy, a guy that guys love playing for. So you do like the hiring all in all about the Jeff Ward. So I like it. But again, like, if you're a Flames fan, are you expecting them to go out and spend $3, $4, $5 million on a coach? No. So this is, I think, a great option for maybe the amount they were allowed to spend. I don't know their spending budget on coaches, but that's I do like it, especially with what he did with the team, and they were playing good hockey in the playoffs.
And how should you feel as a fan if you're not expecting your ownership to go and try to win for the price of like a third line winger on a coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be something you think about if you look back over the history of the coaches you've signed. That'd definitely be in the back of your mind. But again, you look at these teams over the last few years that they've brought in assistant coaches that have been generally like Dallas, St. Louis, these teams that have done it, and these guys that have learned how to be personable within the players. You know, these assistant coaches are so big because generally the head coach is hated, and these guys are the buffer zone. So it really seems, and I played for Chief in St. Louis. He's an unbelievable guy. So when he goes to head coach, as long as he's not changing his character from being this great guy to being like some hard guy to play for, as long as guys know that, because then they'll know it's fake, right? They'll definitely know it's fake. So I think him and same with the guy in Dallas and also Jeff Ward, they can't go in and be something they're not, because the guys will know it right away. They can sniff it out. So it's worked, and I do like it. I really do like that they sign him and give him another opportunity to come back.
Are you homeschooling? Because you had said last week when we had you on, you're right up into it with you're in the country, you're mowing lawns and you're taking care of kids and Versteeg lawn repair and that. How are things on the home front?
Yeah, I opened up a babysitting service. You know what? The kids are in school, but then the one had like a snotty nose like a week ago. So then, come home for 5 days, and now we're homeschooling again for about till today or tomorrow, I believe. So you got to make sure they're good for 2 days to send them back. But this homeschooling, it's tough.
Well, it's good to talk to you. What's up for the next week? Just more of the same?
Yeah, more of, I'll be on my Instagram feed just tearing apart coaches' decisions during the Stanley Cup Finals.
Sure,
if you want to tune into that,
look
watch.
Look forward to it. Look
socials.
Forward.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Do you have a prediction for us? This thing could be over by the time we chat again next week.
Yeah, I still think Tampa in seven. Dallas, man, that first game, they dominated, though. They were pressuring Tampa's D, which Tampa hadn't felt that probably since Boston. Especially playing the Islanders. Like I said, there was like times during the Islanders game, like 8 minutes would go by. And I hadn't even looked at my phone or anything, but I'm just staring at the TV screen because I'm like, what the heck just happened? Like 8 minutes had just gone by and I'm still staring. So they go from playing like that type of style to now playing Dallas. I'm sure that kind of threw their defense for a loop in game one and they are ready for it in game two. But I still like Dallas. I like how they're playing and I'd like to see them extend the series. But I do have Tampa in seven.
Good chat again, Chris. Good to talk to you. Have a good week. We'll catch up on Wednesday.
For sure. Take care, guys.
Yeah, you bet. There he goes, Chris Versteeg.